All right, guys, if you want to, you can turn to Colossians. Colossians, and we're going to be in chapter 3. And we're going to talk about dressing for the occasion. Dress for the occasion. So you're probably going to wonder, what are we doing? We were talking t-shirts last week, and now we're talking about other kinds of clothing. And I think you'll get it here in just a little bit. Let's look together in Colossians in chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 17. The Word of God says this, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity," or love, "which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts in the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now, those of you who were here last week, remember we talked about all those crazy t-shirts, right? Okay? And I want to give you a little perspective on how we sometimes view things a little bit differently. Just a real quick overview, the t-shirt was, you can pull up the picture of the t-shirt if you want to, Diana. This was the very last one that we talked about. The first picture was, "I love Jesus, but I cuss a little." And the question was, what do you see in that? Do you see someone who says, "I love Jesus, but I do what I want to"? Or do you see that "but" word and then everything in front of it doesn't matter, so they really don't love Jesus? Or do you see like someone who says, "I just have mistakes, I still make mistakes"? Those kind of ideas. And it was interesting how different people see that phrase differently. And even I talked to some people at work, and they see it differently from different perspectives. And as we went through that passage last week, and you can look there in verses 5 through 11 in Colossians 3 if you want to, we saw where the King James Version says mortify. Or kill. You need to put to death some things. Today we're going to see the opposite of that. We're going to see some things that we need to put on. And what I challenged you last week, of all the stuff that you saw, was instead of saying, "I love Jesus, but," I wanted you to say, "I love Jesus, so." You get the difference, right? "I love Jesus, therefore I'm going to go or do or be or seek out," rather than, "I love Jesus, but here's what my failings are," all right? And I hope that will be your attitude even today. So last week we talked about getting rid of things. This week we're going to talk about putting some things on. Didn't you guys have an outfit that's like your favorite around the house outfit? You know what I'm talking about? So when we were first married, when I was in high school, our drama teacher, I was in drama class, and we all got these Lands In t-shirts. You guys ever had any Lands In clothing? So I had this purple Lands In t-shirt that I wore for probably 10 years. It was quality stuff, but it didn't hold up probably the last five. But it was still the softest, most comfortable shirt I ever had, purple, okay? And then my favorite pair of pants to lounge around is was my Illini sweatpants. They were bright orange. They were super thick. And so I would walk around the house with orange sweatpants and a purple shirt. Now, I don't know if you know about fashion sense, because I obviously do not, but that was a problem if I was going to go out in public, right? I don't have much fashion sense at all. Even anything that I have fashion sense is all attributed to Wendolyn, okay? And she's probably like, "Please don't say that, because people will blame me for what you look like," right? The only reason I have this shirt and this tie today, and really probably even these pants, is because of my wife, right? I would be a mess without her. So the idea is that there are certain things that you wear in certain places and not other places. And what I want you to talk about today is not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level, that there are some things that you need to get rid of. We talked about those last week. And today we're going to talk about some things you need to put on, okay? And I hope that you'll be challenged. Again, I have already been really challenged. So let's look at that today. Some things to put on. Verse 12, Paul says, "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly love." We're going to start here where we have so many times in Colossians, and these instructions are for believers. This is not for people outside the church. This is for people who have already said, "I trust God." This is for people who said, "I love Jesus." Well, here you go. Here are some things that you're going to need to put on. And he identifies them in three ways. He said, the elect of God is the first way. Those who have been chosen from the foundation of the world. And I would say this today to you. God has always known who would accept his son, and he has chosen those from the foundation. So if you've been picked, you should pursue Christ. Right? It's not about getting dunked one time, and it's not about saying one prayer. It's about a lifetime of knowing the Lord. So if you have been elect, if you have been chosen, which you have today, then pursue after Christ. It's for the holy. We sometimes, I think, we confuse this word just a little bit, but the idea here is the saints. Holy is like God is holy. Holy is set apart from the world, its way of thinking. I would say today, if we're going to be different from the world, we have to get rid of some things and put on some things. And I'll be real clear today that holiness is not about the length of your hair or the clothes that you're wearing. Hello? Holiness is, can you mortify those things? Can you put to death those things? Can you get rid of all those things in verses 5 through 11 that we saw last week? And can you put on the things that we're talking about today? That's going to make a holy person, and they are going to stand out in the world. I guarantee you today, if you mortify those sinful desires, those desires of lust and inordinate passions, if you kill those things and you put on compassion and gentleness and kindness and humbleness, you're going to look different. You're going to stand out because you're holy, not because that you wore a tie or a suit to church today. Beloved, the third thing here that identifies believers is so good is that we are dearly loved by God. What a precious thing to be called beloved. Because you are loved, you should pursue the Savior. Why? Because he first loved us, right? Okay, so today, if you fit any of those characteristics in verse 12, if you've been chosen because you chose Christ, if you have been made holy because you know the Lord, if you are beloved because Jesus died for you, then you have a response. I love Jesus so, and that's what we're going to talk about. Look down at the end there, if you would, of verse 12. Clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Man, that's powerful. And over all these things, all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in unity. What are some things we should put on? The first thing today you want to put on is compassion. I don't throw around Greek words much, but I love this one. Splagna. You know what splagna is? It's your intestines. Now, in our Western world here, where do we love from usually? I love you with all my what? Heart, right? Well, what's interesting here is that what the Greeks, where they love from, they loved you with all their gut. I love you from the bottom of my intestines. Doesn't that sound like a Hallmark card? Right? Here the point is that we should be compassionate. We should love from the deepest place people that are in our life. And today I want to encourage you, who are you showing compassion to and how are you showing compassion? We got to go to Servant's Heart just a couple weeks ago. We saw a man named Bill whose whole life was about loving other people. He was filled with compassion. He had put it on and he was making a difference because of that. The next thing is kindness. Let me ask you this morning. Is your first instinct to criticize, analyze, or compliment? How many of you first instinct is to criticize? Nobody's. Oh, thank you, Adam. One honest man, brother, I appreciate that. And Adam and I, our first instinct is often to, that can't be right. I got to check that out. Oh, let's make sure about this. How many of your first instinct is just to analyze, to process? Thank you for that. That's good people. Those are the kind of people you need. They don't speak before they think it through. I'm not like that at all. And then how many of you, your first instinct is to compliment? Nobody? Come on, people, right? I think that's a pretty good picture of kindness. What we need the Lord to do in our hearts is to transform us in a way that our first instinct is to be kind, is to compliment, is to find good in somebody that we're trying to love and serve, okay? The next one is, he says, I want you to put on not only compassion and kindness, but humility. Do you look to serve yourself or serve others first? And all of these things, by the way, folks, are pretty good for marriage. I'm not going to pick on our visitors today, so I'll pick on Rick and Diane. Rick, is Diane's first impulse to serve you or to expect you to serve her? And don't answer that question. Right? In your relationships, is your first impulse you need to do something for me, or I'm going to humble myself and do something for you? Jesus is our perfect example, isn't he, right? Philippians chapter 2. Let your attitude be that of the same as Christ Jesus, who humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. And what did God do for him? Therefore, he highly exalted him, given a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Right? Amen. How about you today? Are you putting on humility? The next one is gentleness, or literally is the idea of meekness. It's power and strength under control. And I have some people in my life today that I see this in them. I'm so amazed. They have so much that they can give and offer and share and do, but they're gentle and they control, even though they could change so many things. They control themselves so well. Here's the deal, and I would word it this way. You can prove your worth, or you can help someone else see their worth in Christ. You follow that kind of thinking? You ever try to prove yourself? Do you ever just need somebody to know that you're right? I come from a whole family like that. I'm going to show you that I'm right. And being right sometimes is even more important than being compassionate or humble, and in this case, being gentle. Hey, if you know you're right and the Lord knows you're right, does everybody else need to know it? No. You should like quote that right now and bring that back to the preacher sometime, because I'm sure you could use it against me. All right? Be gentle. So what are you going to put on for starters here today? I love Jesus, so I'm going to put on compassion. I'm going to put on kindness. I'm going to put on humility. I'm going to put on gentleness. Does this challenge anyone else besides a preacher today? Whew. That's not really easy for some of us, is it? All right? Be these things. Put them on. And again, you can't do it in your own power, but you need to do it with the Holy Spirit's power and the strength the Lord gives. And what I would share with you today is that the next one is patience. Not easily angered or embittered. And God is the ultimate example of this. On Wednesday night, we've been going through a couple different psalms, and we did Psalm 86 this past Wednesday, and it was awesome. And Psalm 86:15 reminds us of this. We even sang about it today in one of our songs. But you, O Lord, are compassionate and gracious God. You're slow to anger. You abound in love and faithfulness. Aren't you glad the Lord is patient today? Amen, right? You put on patience. Who are you being impatient with? You hearing the Lord today? Put on, put on, put on. The next one is to bear with one another and show some grace. And can I speak this first for a second? Sometimes you need to receive grace. Have you ever had a hard time taking grace from someone else? Wendy shared, I think it was on Wednesday night, we were talking about some of the ladies at the Servant's Keeper. And this one lady had went to a different place to get some food. She was in desperate need of food, and she had never done that before. She got in line, and she was so embarrassed to be in a line to get food that she got out of the line, and she went without food because she was unable to receive grace because of her pride. And I would dare say a lot of us in this room might be like that a little bit too, right? I'm going to challenge you with this, that you would be willing not only to give grace, but you would receive grace when it is offered to you. Don't let your pride get in the way of those things. That's a big part of bearing with each other, is that not only do you give grace to people in church and your brothers and sisters in Christ when they need it, but that when you need it, you are willing to receive it and humble yourself to receive it. We need to forgive one another. This idea here somewhat deals with this sinfulness that we have, and sometimes that we how we hurt each other, and we need to forgive one another. This one another here is even different than the previous one another. So the idea here is very specifically people in our brotherhood and our family. We need to make sure that we are forgiving to get to them. Let us be quick to forgive, and let us ask forgiveness of each other. Don't let anything stand in the way of our unity. I'd ask you today, do you have any grudges in your life? Do you have anybody today that you can't talk to because you've already decided I'm never talking to that person again? And I would challenge you to let the scripture be put in your heart. Put away some things and put on forgiveness. And then ultimately, again, King James word is charity, but here we see the idea of love. It is this bond of perfect unity. It is the outer garment that holds all these things together. If I am truly loving you, I will do whatever I can to promote our relationship. I will forgive. I will bear patiently. I will be gentle. I will be humble. I will be kind, and I will show compassion. I would say it this way: life is too short. We need to love at all times. Are you hearing me today? It's too short to have grudges and to get in little fights and to separate out. We need to love the people the Lord has put in our lives. We need to love one another here today. And again, just a quick reminder that these characteristics are great for any marriage, and they're not easy to live up to. All right, we've talked about things to put on. Real quickly, let's look at some things to put in. Go down to verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. The first thing Paul says to put in, we need to let peace rule. This idea that we are no longer God's enemy but his friend, that we have been reconciled, it needs to umpire. What I would say today is let peace call the shots in our church. And again, guys, I feel like we do a great job here. I don't ever feel like there's any disunity, but we have to protect that. We want to make sure that a big part of our guiding of our relationships is letting peace rule. It's what we are called to as a body. We should always be pursuing peace among each other. Again, put it in. The next thing this morning, again, is to be thankful. Here's the truth I would give you today. When you mortify or you put to death those selfish desires of lust and envy and malice and immorality, all those things we looked at last week, you need to replace them with something. And here's what you replace them with is gratitude. What are you thankful for today? Whoa. You got time, right? What has God done for you today? And you're going to see this just a little bit as we talk about singing, how we should sing with gratitude. Be gracious and grateful. It will help your witness in all of your relationships. You guys, you can take it to the bank. If you will be gracious and grateful, it will pay off huge dividends in all your relationships. How big is it just to say thank you? Right? Somebody gets your coffee in the line or takes you out for a snack, or somebody just holds a door open for you when you got your hands full and you're trying to do something. Someone takes care of your lawn or one of your kids, or your neighbor comes over and gives you a tool that you really could use. Thank you. Be grateful. It'll have such a huge impact and help you be a great witness with the word and with the Lord, with your community. Finally, what needs to go inside is we need to let the word of Christ dwell. And again, I could do a whole series probably just on this one verse, but we're going to work through here just briefly. The word of Christ, of course, is the scriptures, but I want to tell you this today. It is not just the words of the Bible, but it is the living out of those words. I'm trying to be careful here to not get too entrenched, but I have some friends that they have decided that they can live for Jesus without the church. And I'm telling you, it does not work that way. The scriptures never, ever say that it works that way. Are you hearing me today? This is your preacher's pet peeve right here, okay? So pardon me for just a minute while we see this. We have to have the church, and you guys are here and you understand that. Paul says, I want the word of Christ to dwell among you, not you as in Michael, but you as in Cross Life. You see the difference, right? The word needs to dwell among us. How am I going to know sometimes if I think, well, the Lord has told me this, and am I really on the right track? One of the ways that I learn if I'm on the right track is when I see the Lord at work in other believers in my church. When I have a friend who loves the Lord, he sits down with me and he says, I think you need to kind of check yourself here. I think you might want to examine the decision you're making here. It's because we're part of a body. We're part of a community. We're supposed to be together. And when you neglect the body of Christ because you think, well, it's just me and Jesus, you are hurting the church. If the church is a body, guess what is going on if the right hand is missing and the left foot is missing? Are you hearing me today? I'm going to be really outright and very literal here today. Part of our hurt here at our church is we're missing parts of our body because they come about once or twice a year. Because for them, they get what they need to be here for that little time, and that's good enough. But guess what? It's crippling the local church because they're not letting the word of Christ dwell among us, because all I need is me and Jesus. The scripture never teaches that. Jesus loved the bride of Christ. He gave himself for. If Jesus loves the church and you love Jesus, you're going to love the church. Everybody got that? Please, today, we want to let the word of Christ dwell among us. We want to see it, not just hear it, not just know it in our head. We want to see it lived out among our body. And then we can learn and grow and make those choices that the Lord would have us make. And here, Paul says, not just in preaching and teaching, but in teaching and admonishing through singing. And again, if you missed the last few Wednesday nights, we've seen the power of the Psalms. Check out Psalm 46 or 86 if you want to. Those Psalms move us to humble ourselves, to see our need of God, and to see his power and his might. Paul says here, I want to talk about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't want to divide too many hairs today, but I want you to think about this just briefly. We have different kinds of singing, don't we? Right? Even in our church, we kind of have a little bit of a section that's more slightly modern. It's not like super modern, but slightly modern. And then we have something that may be a little more traditional, if you call that. And then every now and then, we go way back. Like today, we went pretty far back with it as well, right? So there's a variety of what we're singing in style, but it's not just style, it's about content. Today, we may sing some songs to God. Even when we sing 10,000 Reasons, sometimes we said, I worship his holy name, which was a song about God, and sometimes we said, I worship your holy name, which is a song to God, right? We want to make sure we have a good, steady diet of all of these things. If you guys ever heard the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, it's completely a song that I sing and I express my heart to God. My Jesus, I love thee, right? We sing that one around here. How great thou art. Those are all songs to God. Then we have songs about God, like To God Be the Glory or Fairest Lord Jesus. And then we have songs about us. And sometimes churches get stuck on those, don't they? I like the songs about me. Victory in Jesus. Or if you want to just get out of hymn book today, you can flip to the back of the hymn book and go to the ones that start with the letter I. There's quite a few songs like that. But we need those songs as well, don't we? We need to remind ourselves what God has done in our heart and our lives, but we need a diet of these things. We need to sing with gratitude. Can I hit you another little bit? Boy, you guys are getting hit with pet peeves today. Real men sing. Oh, that's for the ladies to sing. Preacher, if you heard me sing, well, you'd have to kick everybody out of the church. No, uh-uh. Real men sing. They don't have to be on tune. They don't have to have perfect pitch, but they share their heart to God, and they're not embarrassed about it. And guess who's watching you, real men? Little men. Are you hearing me today? I'm telling you. Those little boys, they watch. And if they see that none of the men sing, they're like, oh, that's only for ladies. I'm too cool. Men are too cool to sing. But if they see you guys expressing your love to God in a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song, they're like, hey, that's okay. It is right for men to sing. Ladies, I'm assuming that you're singing, right? That's horrible, isn't it? That was just like so chauvinistic. But you sing as well, right? We need to be a people of the hymn book, a people of the song book. Paul says here, not only are you going to be admonished and encouraged by singing, but you are, or by teaching and preaching, but also by singing. You ever been convicted by singing? Every day, that's my life. The Lord uses songs and hymns to encourage me and to convict me. If you would have been here on Wednesday night, you would have got nailed on both of those accounts. As we worked through Psalm 86, we looked at David's heart. We looked at his humility and his desire to know God, that he needed God, that he couldn't do what he was going through without God. And that was convicting. But then you also saw a picture of God and he was slow to anger, he was abounding in compassion, he was great in mercy, and you were encouraged. All right, that's why we sing to God. You guys, that's why singing is so important. Again, I hope that as you sing, your heart is turned towards gratitude, no matter what the stresses or concerns it is bearing when you come in. You follow that today? Again, that is like my life. I come in and my mind may be someplace else. My heart is discouraged. And if I sing and you guys sing and we sing together, oh man, like Becca shared this morning, we worship together. Okay, I can do this. I can tackle this week. I can do what the Lord has for me. Sing with gratitude. Finally this morning, whatever you do, Paul says in verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And again, in both of our Psalms, what we've been seeing, and we see it here again today, that it's about his name. Remember that your name as a Christian is on the line. We live for his name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be what? Thy name. I've been saying this so much. I think the Lord is confirming it. I hope to you too. We saw it again on Wednesday night. Everything that we see in the scriptures, it all points to the glory of God's name. And as we hallow his name, he fills us with joy. That's how it works. And I probably told you this story 1,000 times, but my name is Penn, right? You guys have an impression of what a Penn is because of this person. I can be very stubborn and hard-headed and maybe sometimes very rosy-colored glasses. That's kind of somewhat of who I am. But hopefully that also means being a Penn is that I'm going to try to work hard and I'm going to try the very best I can to keep my word. Those things are tied to my name. Well, what about the name of Christ? If you claim to be a Christian, you're carrying the weight of his name. Right? And I don't want you today, that doesn't mean that you try to hide or conceal that you're frail and that you're human, but it also means that you don't go flaunting your sinful life. Right? Yeah, I make a mess of things and I fall down, but I'm not going to glory in that. I'm going to glory in that my Lord is the Lord. And whatever I do, whether it's word or deed, how am I going to do it? I'm going to do it for the glory of his name. Let me put it up here for you this way. I thought this was pretty good. I am a Christian. That means I appear peculiar to many. Man, even more so today. I love even though I am not loved in return. I deem unity among my brothers and sisters as one of my highest priorities. My ultimate example is Jesus himself, and that is who I pattern my life after. No matter where I am or what I am doing, I must remember I am a Christian. I have a name to live up to. And again, not in my own strength or my own power, but through the power of God's Spirit, I want him to be glorified, and I'm going to try to live up to that name. I'm going to do everything I can for the glory of his name. If you guys were listening this morning, that was the prelude song that was playing. That was the song we sang right before it as well. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to what? His name, his name, his name, his name. I cannot say it. I could say it 1,000 times. It would not be enough. Live your life for his glory. All right, let me read you a closing illustration, and we'll call it a morning today. This is from John MacArthur. I thought this is pretty interesting. He says, I heard about a man sitting before a fireplace, and he was lost in thought. The drapes had been closed and the room was dark except for the flickering light of the dying fire. And finally, the flames themselves disappeared, leaving nothing but a heap of gray ashes topped with some glowing embers. One burning coal stood out brilliantly from all the rest because it was white hot. The man's gaze was transfixed upon it. But suddenly, that brilliant white hot coal turned completely black. The man was startled. What had caused the instant change? And as he looked around, he noticed that the drapes had parted slightly and a shaft of brilliant sunlight had shot into the study and landed directly on that burning coal. The greater light had made the lesser light look black by comparison. And this is what Christ demands of us. Our love and our devotion for him must be so complete that the deepest love we have for our dearest loved one fades in comparison. Do you love the Lord like that? You guys remember Francis Chan? We gave this illustration in his book a couple years ago. And usually we'll have like God and family and work and church and whatever go down the list. But if you saw Francis's illustration, it was God, and then it was family, work, church. Was all number two. Like there was this big gap between our love for the Lord and for his name, and everything else kind of was on the same level because of the gap was so different. Today, how are you doing? Have you been mortifying those things that you need to get rid of, we talked about last week? And are you putting on things like gentleness and kindness and compassion and humility? Are you putting in your heart the peace of Christ and a heart of gratitude? Are you letting the word of Christ dwell among us richly? Are you singing with gratitude and singing songs that admonish and encourage and develop your life in Christ? Are you becoming what the Lord wants you to be? That's all I'm encouraging you today. So today we're going to stand, and again, I'll go to the piano and play just a little bit, give you opportunity to pray and to seek the Lord's face, and to make sure today, if there's some things that you need to take off, please do. If there's things you need to put on, ask the Lord in his power to do those things with you today. Let's pray.